Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good afternoon and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is when you can come and place your thoughts and concerns on the table with other people of like mind and see if we can process it, work through it, share the ups and downs. And I welcome anybody that's an artist, a service provider to artists, or even fans of the art, because I think fans have so much to say and let us know what it is that piques their interest, what's going to get them to dig in their pockets to help support an artist. And all of that. So that's why we created the Artist Roundtable. It kind of came from several sidebar conversations that I have had with artists, and I thought, you know what, let's take it to the airwaves. Let's open this up to anybody and everybody that's wanting to, give their feedback and give their thoughts on, maybe a topic of the day or just bring their own topic to the table. We do not have any. Oh, we do have a caller on the line, but I was going to say we don't have any callers on the line, but we do. And let me just click them in and see who it is and see what they would like to talk about today. Caller from the 586 area code, you're on the air with Lady Flava on the Artist Roundtable.
Lady Flava, what's the good word?
Hey, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm very good. Amazing interview last night.
Thank you.
So how did that feel for you?
Really good. Really good. Really motivated. Actually, very inspirational. Ready to move on to the next interview, actually. That interview was amazing,
though.
There you
go.
I like the feedback. There was a lot of love there last night.
That's good. There was quite a few people in the chat room and listening live, so that was a great experience, at least for me to come and just see.
You showing up was amazing. That made my day.
So what do you – okay, since we don't really have a topic of discussion today, John, why don't you go ahead and choose it? What do you think would be good to put on the table today?
Good topic for artists. I think our music choices, as in what we put out there and the direct and indirect effect it has of how people perceive the artist based on their music.
And I think that's a good topic. It's something that I kind of talk about a lot. One of the things that I was listening to on an interview with, let me think who it was. I want to say it was on the Monique show, but it was the artist that stated that, it was actually Will Smith on Oprah's show. And he stated, he as an artist has so much power and influence over how people think and feel, see things. And so when he is involved in a project, it's important to him that project has a good message. And something that people can learn and grow from, not only be entertained, but there's something that's powerful or meaningful in that. And that's kind of how I look at art too, John. I look at it as, what is the message? Is there substance to it? What is, a listener or a fan going to walk away from, hearing in your art? So, why don't you speak on the fact of what it is that you yourself create and how you go about the thought process of your music?
Well, me first and foremost, I'm all about having a good time. I mean, when that's what it calls for, I like to get in there and pound the 88s and clown around and do my thing. And, I like to get the people dancing. I like to make them feel good and, you know, feel good about yourself and feel good about what you do and don't care what the next man thinks. But at the same time, at the end of the day, when the dancing stops and you're sitting back reflecting on the events of that day, I want the people to say, man, that song was deep, though. I mean, he was saying something, you know,
yeah.
that space thing, that for me is that's kind of a waste of an audience because it's an opportunity to get some point across. And why not stress something worthwhile? And you can get people to listen. Hell, you can talk. You can get a public speaker to speak, and if he's not a very motivated speaker, people may listen for a few minutes or whatever, but you put something with a backbeat on, people will listen just because.
Right.
Just because. So why not use that? You know, and that, again, that comes down to the artist. What are you trying to convey to the world? Because a lot of artists, I mean, there's a lot of well-respected artists that I listen to, and I actually listen to what they say, not just the music. I listen to the message because I know they're being heard by the masses. So, you know, it's all good to have fun and, you know, make that music and part, but make sure when you're saying something, you're actually saying something.
I agree, and I think that a lot of times, especially when it comes to music, it's kind of a subliminal thing, you know, because you're right. If the beat catches somebody's attention and you're sitting there bobbing your head or you're moving around or you're dancing, okay, it's initially that beat. But all of a sudden, words, you know, start, you know, formulating, and you're like, the words are coming out of your mouth. Okay, a lot of times I've heard this story over and over again where somebody's driving in their car and they're listening to a song and the baby's in the background bobbing their head and this and that, and next thing you know it, the baby is saying the words, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, and are they really appropriate words for the baby to be saying? So I think that you're right that, you know, I really do think, for me, my personal opinion, music is something that's subliminal, and it comes along after the fact. It's the beat, you know, that's going to catch it, and then somebody's going to really sit down and say, you know, listen to the actual words and take it from there and what it's actually saying. There is another caller on the line, John. Let me go ahead and bring them into the conversation. Call us on the 760 area code. You're on the air with John D. Green and Lady Flava on the Artist Roundtable.
Hi, good morning. My name is Henry.
Henry.
Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. How are you both doing?
How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. I'm a musician, poet, novelist. Anything that involves creative process, I'm it. And I wanted to call in because I think what you both are talking about, I think all artists at some point in their career have to face the question where they want to write something meaningful that will get across to the audience and the audience will listen to, but at the same time, the audience has to enjoy it. You have to appreciate it. So a lot of times when you're faced with music in particular or poetry, it has to have a certain aesthetic quality, a certain beauty about it, a certain rhythm, a certain way, a certain way for it to create a certain sense of rhythm and beat that it'll attract people. And then later on with that same rhythm and beat, you know, create deep and profound lyrics, which they can later on listen to on their own and think about. And I think that's part of the problem. The problem with mainstream music or mainstream art is that a lot of time it kind of forgets about the deep message and wants to go to entertain instead of actually convey an idea or something of that nature.
Well said, Henry. Well said.
Yeah. So, Henry, how do you go about it? When you are writing a piece, whether it be music or poetry or whatever, what is your thought process?
Well, you know what? To be honest, I am not in it for the money. I know I'm going to be totally broke for the rest of my life I'm going to be a starving artist for the rest of my life. I'll never go mainstream, and I never have a desire to go mainstream. Okay. I just want to get my message across. And I find that now in our day and age, you don't have to be mainstream to get your message across.
I agree.
You don't have to have like a big agent or a big manager or a big producer to get your message across. You know, there's things called alternative mediums, which are, you know, like Blog Talk Radio or podcasts, or you know, there's actually online distributors who will distribute your music, you know, for free for a certain commission price, and that's how I like to go about doing things. You know, I gain satisfaction from knowing that someone has listened to my work or someone has read my work and they gained something from it. They've changed their experience. And I think where the artist goes wrong is when they want to go mainstream, because mainstream is a different game than being an artist. Mainstream is about politics. It's about knowing the right people. It's about, you know, maybe having someone relative in the business. You know, all those things I don't have, which people don't know that mainstream's about. Everyone, like all the big mainstream musicians, you know, they know someone in the industry. You know, it's very rare that someone gets discovered. You know, it's very rare. We hear about it happening every now and then, but the majority of times, people have had their foot in their door or come from a legacy that allows them to be in that field.
Well, I think that, and I totally hear you as far as the mainstream goes. You know, I don't know if, you know, what you know about myself, but I mostly gear everything and anything I do through Flava News with underground independent artists. But many of them are artists that are wanting to take it to the level of financially making money from what they're doing. They're not necessarily wanting to get signed to an actual, you know, mainstream label or a mainstream publisher or anything like that. They're wanting to stay independent and to be able to reap, you know, the rewards of any financial gain, you know, for themselves and for the team that they work with. So they're not necessarily trying to go mainstream, but even at that, even being an underground artist, on shows that we've talked, you know, with John D. Green, who's on the line with us, you know, it's a struggle at that. So I guess my question to you would be, Henry, are you an artist that would call yourself an independent artist, or are you an artist that just purely does it for the love of it and do not have a product, for instance, a book or a CD that you're trying to sell, or an event that you perform at that you're trying to sell tickets to?
Well, that's a good question. I do sell my work.
Okay.
I definitely do sell my work, but I sell it at a cost-effective price so the most amount of people can enjoy it. Because the obstacle that I face in my work is that I have to put in money up front to produce what I produce.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it be time, whether it be, you know, some fixed cost that I have to pay for, you know, so there's always some upfront cost you have to put into your art. Every artist puts into it. Even the visual arts, you have to buy the pastel paints and you have to buy everything, you know? So you want to recoup a little bit of what you put in, but at the same time you want to reach the most amount of people. And so I would say that I am truly an artist who does it for the love of art. But at the same time, I do sell it, but at the minimum cost possible.
Do you sell music, Henry, or are you a poet, spoken word artist?
I am more of a writer than I am a musician. I'm currently working on several. What I've decided to do, poetry is an industry which is very difficult to reach people. Not a lot of people are attracted to poetry. You know?
Really? Where are you from, Em?
California.
Oh,
okay. And really, out here in California, although I did live in New York, and New York is a different ball game. Because there actually are, you know, poetry slams, and there are actually, you know, there's a big writing industry there. But in California, really, it's all about the film industry a lot of the times, you know. And So I find that being a poet is very difficult to get your message across just in the form of poetry. So what I've decided to do is I've been playing, you know, guitar for a long time. I've decided recently, very recently, this last month actually, to take all the poems I've ever written and turn them into songs.
Just like that?
Yeah. I've taken every poem I've written and I've added, you know, a lyrical melody to it. And I decided to turn them into songs, and I want to be able to be complete with my musical work by January. And then there actually is I have a website for it. There's actually a distributor, an online distributor that will distribute your music for you. I don't know how good they are, but if you want, I can share it with you. Do you want to hear the distributor?
You could share that info.
Okay, I don't know how good they are, so I'm not plugging them, I'm not recommending them. I'm just saying that it's an option. It's called www.createspace.com.
Okay.
So they distribute musicians' work, and it looks like there's no upfront cost. They do it by they get your work into distributors like Amazon and what have you. And then you can distribute it that way. And that's another thing that's beautiful about the internet age, that we have things like Amazon where they're very open. People don't know this, but they're very open to taking and distributing different works, not just the mainstream stuff. You know, so, that's currently what I'm working on. I'm working on changing my poetry from just being a poem to actual songs.
So you're doing this, Henry, because you feel that you're not able to sell the poetry, but you feel that you could sell it better or
not
get more attention or
get
appreciation
more attention.
For your art through music?
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, there was a writer, and I can't remember what writer said this, but he indicated he envied musicians. And the reason he envied musicians is he wrote that because whenever a musician writes a song, they know if someone likes it. You know, people clap when they play it, people, you know, get into it. But whenever a writer writes in front of his computer a brilliant line, he never knows if anyone's going to like it or not. You know, there's no one there applauding him. So that's why I decided that I would take my poetry, which is poetry is kind of not, I don't want to sound pessimistic or cynical, but poetry's kind of dead, you know? In my region,
okay.
where I live, you know,
we
there
have
are
some
no poetry slams.
Stunning poets here in Seattle, and I know a few in D.C. and several in North Carolina. So I guess you would know it as a poet. Because you're in that line of work and you're experiencing it, but I'm surprised.
I'm surprised that you're saying that too, Henry. And especially being in California, and I understand now that you're saying, you know, the focus down there is
more
is filmmaking and this and that. But I guess I kind of considered California more of an artsy and more broad. All of that. So I kind of was under the impression that, you know, poetry, spoken word, you know,
music,
like open mic,
film,
and things like that, everything, you know, was kind of, you know, art walks, whatever, was kind of a big thing down there in California. So I am actually trying to encourage, there's some poets that are in the chat room right now. Oh, shoot, Son of Man disappeared, but there is a... Poetry is Me, and there's Honey that's in the chat room. Both of them are very, very active. Honey has a new book that's out. So I'd be curious to hear what they would have
poet,
to say,
actually.
You know, in regards to, you know, their thoughts around, you know, what you're saying. And I do think that it's a matter of opinion. I know that we have a poet that, you know, Chandrine Cici out of Winnipeg, Canada, who has had some struggles up there in Canada in regards to getting the attention on her art and her poetry and her writing, and feels that outside of her particular region, it's much easier to get attention. So I'm wondering if maybe it's just, what part of California are you actually in, Henry?
I live very close to Los Angeles. I live in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there might be more of a scene in the northern, like San Francisco area.
Yeah.
But from what I'm aware of, there is a music scene, and there is, I know, a film scene, definitely for sure. But
uh-huh.
when it comes to, like, the visual arts, like painting, or anything, or when it comes to poetry, anything where it's more challenging to make a buck off of it,
mm-hmm.
it's really, really an uphill battle to get attention, you know. And if anyone, you know, this is just my opinion, but this is just my approach to things, you know. I figured
right.
because it's so difficult to get my poetry out there to a wide audience who will appreciate poetry, which, you know, I haven't found. My approach is, well, convert it into a song. And,
okay.
And almost everyone appreciates music.
The songs that you are converting, are you a score writer? I mean,
basically,
give me an idea of your music, Henry.
Well, I've been playing guitar for several years now, a long time. I've been playing guitar since probably, I'm 29 right now, I've been playing since I was 21. And, you know, if you play a lot of songs and you learn a lot of different artists, you know, there's great artists out there. The artists I particularly like are, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, B.B. King, Johnny Cash, Pink Floyd. All of these artists I like because they have a message to send across. And their words, their works are poetry. You could take their lyrics and look at it by itself, and it's basically poetry.
Okay.
So I tend to write more on the blues and rock end of things than anything else.
Do you have your own sound? Do you have something that is uniquely Henry?
I have one song written out from one of my poems. And I do believe I have my own sound.
You have your own sound, Henry? Own sound?
That's a good question. I think I do. You know, I'm still developing as a musician.
Okay.
But what helps in that process is that there's actually software which allows you to score your composition very easily. You know, so there's software out there you can use on a personal computer, on a PC or a Mac, and you know it'll score your music for you with the lyrics, and you can just hear how the whole thing sounds. You know,
I'm old
because Henry just said there's software that scores your music.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I got software. It's called a pen. And
yes. Yes.
My equipment is my piano, and that's how I score my music. And you said you have software that does it.
I have software that imitates piano, the sound of piano, that can imitate the sound of an organ, that can imitate the sound of violins, that can imitate any sound, any musical instrument, almost any musical instrument. It's kind of pricey, but it's well worth it.
And it scores your music.
Is it like Pro Tools or something?
I'm sorry?
Is it like
Pro Tools
or
yeah, I'll tell you the name of the software. It's called Finale.
Final.
And again, I'm not plugging any software. I feel so bad. I feel like I'm plugging these products here.
Right.
I recommend it. It's called Finale. It scores your work, and you can find it on. The easiest place to find it would be at a software store, actually, not even a music store. Music stores don't have it. The software, like a computer store, would have it.
Uh-huh.
And I used to use pen and paper myself. I used to get blank sheet music and try to write it out. But it ended up looking too sloppy, and I didn't know if it was actually sounding right. But with this software, I can actually compose it right in front of myself, play it back and see if it sounds like how I want it to sound.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. I almost, you know, there's a part of me, Henry, that would love to hear you, you know, like recite your poetry with nothing in the background to then see what it's like, you know,
I will recite
you know as a song.
I can recite one. Yeah. So here's the. I have to grab something. I have to grab it. Okay. So let me. Okay. Here's one that. Oh, where'd it go? Okay. So here's. Okay. Here's one that I've written the majority of the score for. It's not complete, but it's the majority of the score is written for, and I call it Hysteria. Okay.
Okay.
So here it is. This is the poetic version. This isn't the music version. A school bus on the street as the workers pour concrete. There is a smell of sulfur. What could the bus be for? To bring to take the hopeless fate of nothingness and emptiness splashed across the wall. Slabs of brick build up a wall, keeping out the vicious fall of pain and symbols spread across white surfaces to bring the call of vagrants, vagabonds, and clarions of those who only wish us harm. The bus cannot disarm the lowly, poor, and weak, excluded by concrete and slabs of brick piled across, meaningless to stop it all. And that's basically it. So
can you sing it now?
I have a horrible voice.
I just kind of wanted to hear,
wait
like,
a minute.
The poetry
who's singing
of
your
a
music?
Song, you know?
I'd like to hear how that would translate to song form.
Okay, let me.
Sure.
I could try to. Oh man, I hope it's so horrible. I was hoping. Here's the thing. I can score these things, but I was hoping to meet people who would be able to jump in to sing it and provide their voice.
Well, you right now on the line is John D. Green, who is a singer, songwriter, musician.
Oh, great.
So the gentleman that you're speaking to is John, and he's out of Detroit, Michigan. Before we go any further, I want to bring another caller in, just right quick.
Okay.
And then we could continue. Caller from the 513 area code, you're on the air with John, Henry, Lady Flava on the Artist Roundtable. Caller from the 513?
Yes, Lady Flava, can you hear
honey?
Me?
Yes,
yes,
I can
hear
you. This is Honey.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay, so.
Hey.
So, honey.
Hi, John. Hi,
how
Henry.
Are you?
Henry, honey is a poet, and she has just published a book that she's got out on the market right now. So, I kind of was really encouraging her to call in because I just wanted to hear, you know, what her opinion is.
So
what area
her.
Are you in, honey?
I'm actually in Ohio.
You're in Ohio.
Ohio.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So,
you're just
Henry,
in time, honey. Henry was about to sing for us.
Yeah. So are you going to sing for us, Henry?
See, Henry, I'm a songwriter as well. And until I get established in the way in which I desire to be, I sing.
Well,
the singer-songwriter aspect of it.
Okay, let me try to sing it. Are you sure you want?
Okay.
Are you sure you really want to hear this?
Are
yes,
you sure
I do.
You want to do this?
I don't know, dude. My voice is so horrible. But here it goes. Let me see. Oh, I can't sing it, dude. My voice is too bad. Let me try to see if I can. I would.
Can you hum it, Henry?
I'm sorry.
Can you hum it?
Okay, let me try to hum it. It follows that kind of pattern.
Let me ask you a very serious question now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you heard this in your mind, as most artists do, how did you hear this arrangement? Was there a single voice, one soloist? Was there a choir? What did
no,
you hear?
No, I hear the way I've scored it so far, I hear one voice singing it, and the voice The voice would be, it would have to be somewhere in the middle, not one of the higher tones or the lower tones.
Give me a note for him. Would it be a first tenor, a second? Would you want it to be a soprano, a first soprano? Or are you thinking higher than soprano?
No, I'm thinking. You see, that's the problem. I don't know these terms. I'm more of a poet than a musician. So I'm thinking between a soprano and a tenor, because the range is broad.
Okay, I'm a tenor, Henry.
Yeah. So
would you want it in that kind of voice, or are you thinking higher?
No, higher. Did you hear me? Did you hear me hum it?
Yeah, I heard you.
What'd you think?
But I got the ballad. I got the choir ballad kind of feel when you were humming it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the main. That's how it kind of repeats itself repeatedly over and over again.
Okay.
So, and then there's kind of a, yeah, so.
That's interesting. I mean, I think, you know, what I think you ought to do, Henry, I think you should record it as you recite it as a poem, and I think you should record it as a song. And then what I think you ought to do is then take those pieces and send them to some different people so they can listen to it both ways.
Yeah.
And give you some honest feedback. So, honey, I want to ask you a question. I don't know whether you heard Henry say that he's in California and that poetry is really not appreciated down there or acknowledged as a real art form. It's more music and film-based down there. And so as a poet, he's struggling with that. What are your feelings as far as your poetry and spoken word goes?
First of all, I know every poet approaches their poetry and what they do with it differently. What I did for me is I did not start out with the idea of I'm writing this to make money. It was a venting for me. Like you've heard a lot of people say, my pen became someone I could speak to or it could speak for me. When I couldn't speak, my pen could speak. And that's what it started out. Then I started sharing it. The more I started sharing it, the more other people started coming to me and approaching me about my work. I did not look at the fact that I'm just here in Cincinnati because a lot of the poets in Cincinnati, because I'm not from Cincinnati, have not welcomed me. And they're pretty active here and with poetry and spoken word. But I was an outcast, so I didn't limit myself to where I live. We have the internet at our disposal. Get on the internet, like you said. You know, whether you think this sounds good or not, if you believe in what you're writing, you have a feeling for it, you put it out there. Let the people come to you, and that's basically what I did. I put myself out there, and I allowed the people to come to me through the people. And I turned around one day. I didn't even know I had a fan, didn't even realize I had a fan. And I'll never forget when a young lady came to me and she said, oh, I've been following your work for years. I just put my work out there. And the next thing I know, here I am. I have a published book. That was not my goal. It's that my fans asked for it. I did not limit myself. If you say, well, it's dead in the city I'm in, and that's all you're concentrating on, then to me you're putting yourself in a box. Get yourself up out of that box. There's a great big world out there. And I have a radio show now. And the people that come to my radio show are not, there are some people, don't get me wrong, that are from the East Coast. But I have so many people because it's 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time that come from the West Coast and the other side of the world. If I'd have just sat there, and I'm using my radio show for example here, and said, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody on the East Coast is going to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's a mistake that Blog Talk Radio made on my timing. It was supposed to be 9 o'clock Wednesday night. I have no less than 31 people to 40 people listening a Thursday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. That may be all present to people, but at that time of the morning, that's a big percentage of the people. But if I'd have just kept myself in that little box and said, well, oh, well, the people around here, the people, you got to take yourself out of that type of mentality. As long as you stay in the mentality of the people here around me, it's dead, then you're going to stay dead right along with it. Get up out of that box. It's a great big world out there. If you have the internet and you know about that software, then get up there, hit every website that you can find. I don't just hang on the Poetry Network. I go to the social network. I have fans, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn, but these are things I've learned over the years. And I've only been doing this actively for 2 years. I'm on Tagged. I'm on Mocha Space. I'm on MySpace. I'm on this space. I'm on that spot. I'm on that spot. Not because I'm trying to hook up with somebody, but I'm promoting my work. The world knows about Honey because Honey did not look at I'm only in Cincinnati, and the people here don't want to have nothing to do with my work. They don't want to accept my work. Oh, well, get out of the box. Go into the world. And that's
see, I know about Honey. I'm in Detroit. See?
Hey, I know
guys.
About Honey, and I'm in Seattle.
See? And she's in Seattle. Henry, here's the thing, and I'll tell you this from experience. As a working musician, as a struggling artist, there is an audience for you.
Well, you know what? You're also you're in Seattle, though, aren't you?
No,
I'm
in
Seattle.
Oh, I'm sorry, because Seattle has an excellent music scene.
I'm in Seattle.
Oh, because Seattle
has into the music stream.
Hold on. Just 1 second. Let me bust your bubble a little bit more, Henry. There's a gentleman in the chat right now by the name of Son of Man. Son and Man and I do not live in the same state, but we worked on a project together that we did a collab that's still being requested across the internet now.
I actually heard that.
Oh, that's
so funny.
Oh, that's good. Well,
I've actually heard that piece of work. And I'm in Detroit.
Well, I guess what Honey's trying to impress upon you, Henry, is there's so much more out there. And because we live in a day and age of the internet and cyberspace, that, you know, many of the people who are in the chat room right now are people that I came to know over the years of, you know, being on the internet. And, you know, none of them are in the same place as I am. You know, some of them go around to the different open mic shows that feature poetry and this and that, and so I've become familiar, you know, with them that way.
Yeah.
But there are different ways, and I don't know if you do go to, like, the different poetry, online poetry shows and share your pieces that way. One thing I will put out there, though, and this is not to bust anybody's bubble as far as an artist goes, you know, but there is a fact that not all people are artists. That's just a fact. You know, I think there are people who want to be creative. I would raise my hand and say I'm one, but I'm not a singer. I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a poet. You know, I'm not a writer. So I don't try to do it. Yet I have such a love and appreciation. But I think that even though we are living in a time where the internet is so accessible, anybody can write a book and anybody can have it published. Anybody can, you know, create a song and download, you know, Fruity Loops or Audacity or whatever to their computers and record something. You know, but when it comes to the point of, you know, really, really trying to sell a product, you have to know that you're on point. And you have
right.
to know it. You that you have an audience out there that you can sell it to. If you love it just because you love it and you want to be creative, and that's where your passion is, that definitely, you know, serves a purpose too. So I think that sometimes there's a fine line between that, and I will be honest, a lot of these poetry shows I don't think are honest with the people. Whether it's good or not, you'll be hearing whistles and clapping and woo-woos going off when I think, oh, my God, you did not think that was good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the hard position that I'm in because, you know, over the years I've been a reviewer of work and stuff, and, you know, I've hurt some people's feelings, you know, because it's not good. So I think that there's a fine line there, too, as far as knowing whether it's good or not. But there are ways of getting yourself out there and getting exposure and, you know, and just seeing. And I would imagine that, I don't know how you've gone about it, Henry, to try to, you know, to share your art and your message. I don't know if you've done the online thing or if you've done it, you know, gone to open mics, or I would imagine in the Los Angeles area there's got to be, like, open mics or places that people share poetry.
That's a good point. There may be, but they're very few and far between.
Okay.
It's not like I lived in New York, and in New York it was amazing. You could any night of the week there was always an open mic or a poetry slam. There was always something going on. Not necessarily the case. There might be something once a month. You know.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But it's not like a more artistic area like New York where, you know, you can actually, you know, throw your work out there every night and get yourself known and recognized, you know. I lived in New York for several years, so I know what an art scene is, you know. And in terms of being an artist, you know, well, my father's a landscape and portrait painter, you know, my brother is an architect. My sister writes as well, and for me it's always been about poetry and writing and music. Because I played when I was a child, I played saxophone and clarinet. So, you know, it wasn't until later I picked up the guitar, but, you know, I didn't mean to step on anyone's toes, you know, or try to dash anyone's dreams.
No, of course not.
But I'm sharing just my opinion.
But you're sharing your life experience.
And from my experience in from where I am in California, it's easier for me to go up to some kind of bar or cafe and whip out my guitar and say, hey, I have a song to sing. Can I play it? Then for me to say, I have a poem to say, can I read it?
Okay.
So that's
I
the
understand.
Difference, you know? And again, like I said, okay. I'm definitely not doing this for the money. I'm resigned to the fact that I'm going to be a starving artist the rest of my life. I really appreciate that, you know? But I definitely want to get my message out to as many people as possible because I do believe I have a unique and interesting message to send out there.
So when you do your writing, Henry, you are conscious about the fact that you want to have an actual message in your piece that somebody can walk away with or think back on and get something out of it.
This is where I and other, you know, poets and writers differ. Mm-hmm. I have an English minor degree. So I've read a lot of the classics.
Okay.
And a lot of the classics prior to, I would say, the 21st century, prior to the mid-20th century, wrote with a certain message in mind. For example, Les Miserables, Victor Hugo. He wrote that with a particular message in mind that was actually directed at his society at the time, you know? Another example, Moby Dick. His message, Victor Hugo's message was more political, but Moby Dick's is more, you know, metaphysical. And he wrote that with he didn't want to write a story about a whale. He wanted to write about the struggle of facing your mortality, of facing your fears, of facing your hopes, of losing hope. He wanted to write about these issues in a way that was both entertaining to people and at the same time got his message across.
Right.
Somewhere in the mid-20th century, because of postmodernism, you know, the postmodernists were more about, I want to get a certain emotion across, not a certain idea across. You know,
okay.
I want to make this emotion concrete. And, you know, if you read the older writers, they were not like that. Emotion wasn't a factor. It was aesthetic.
What are you like, Henry?
What are you trying to do?
Tell me what you're trying to do.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get a deeper message out there.
What is that message?
It's difficult. Some of it's metaphysical, dealing with religion and the idea of mortality and our hopes and dreams. Some of it's political, dealing with the fact that there are changes going on with our political world and our economic world. You know, it ranges around those areas. So that's where I guess a perfect example of a musician of a band who did this. And if you've never heard them, I highly recommend hearing them. You know? Have you ever heard anything by a band called Pink Floyd?
I've heard the name. Honestly, I can't say that I know their music.
Here's the thing.
I'm very familiar with Floyd.
So you are. So if you listen to just the Dark, Wish You, there are two main albums, are Wish You Were Here and The Dark Side of the Moon. And The Dark Side of the Moon is very revolutionary in that it deals directly with social issues of the time, you know? And it's very revolutionary in that when you listen to it, every song leads into the next song, almost. You know, every song almost leads into the next song, and you get these social issues that are thrown out there. You know, I can read one of their lyrics, and it's poetry. It's completely poetry, but they put it to music, and they did it in a creative way that captured a lot of people's attention. So that's kind of kind of my inspiration for wanting to do this, to do it. Their work is emotional in a sense that whenever you listen to their work, you get a sense of desire for peace and for tranquility, you know. I'm looking for one of their songs online to share it with you. Let me see. I'm trying to find it right here. Oh, where is it?
Let me just ask Honey right quick. Honey, when it comes to your writing, and your thought process, I totally understand and appreciate the fact that many poets and writers kind of start because it's a way of releasing, you know, what's kind of going on in your head and in your heart, kind of venting type thing. But when you write now and with the book that you have, is No Longer a Slave, is that correct? Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. When you write, I mean, clearly it's like you're a storyteller or whatever. Is it just coming from within yourself, you know, that you're basing it off an emotion of feeling when you write it? And what is it that you want people to get from it once they experience you?
I'm sort of what I call a weird writer, and I've really had a lot of other poets who attack me when I say what I'm getting ready to say. When I write, I honestly do not think about what somebody else is going to get out of this, whatever somebody else is going to, you know, think about this or whatever. I'm writing from how I'm feeling about a certain situation or topic at that moment. I call myself purely an emotional writer.
That's right.
I am straight emotional. I don't sit there and think about, I got to go over this, you know, piece 10 times. And I'm not knocking anybody. Everybody has to do what works for them. That's why I'm glad we're all different individuals. But what I do is I don't sit there and go over the poem 10 times and say, was this word going to be what touches that person? No. And I'm sorry I don't do that, but I'm just straight an emotional writer. What you read is exactly what I was feeling at the moment that I wrote that piece.
You know what, and I, you know, that in itself right there makes me want to go seek out more of your writing then. Because I, you know, I'm a Cancer, I'm emotional, you know, a lot of times people don't like how I come off. You know, because I'll wear my emotions on my sleeve, you know, and I'm like, this is how I feel. This is how you made me feel. I'm going to let you know this. And I think a lot of it has to do with me turning 50. Verbal skills told me, Flava, when you turn 50, you're not going to hold your tongue. But I react off of emotions. Things that I say and I feel, you know, are based off of my emotions. So I can totally appreciate the fact, you know, that you would do it that way.
Well, when you first open my book to the first introduction dedication, you'll see a picture at the heading of it, and it's an abstract picture. I'm also an abstract painter, but I'm an abstract painter.
Okay.
What I can't put to pen comes out through my painting.
Okay.
So I'm a Virgo. I'm a very emotional person as well.
All these emotions. Okay.
You're emotional too, John.
Well, no, you see, I'm a Taurus, though. I'm just real stubborn.
We all see the two. Yeah. We all like each other.
Light-headed
and
stubborn,
Yeah.
That's the thing. See, I'm a Taurus.
Throw a Scorpio in there, and we're good
to go. I'm stubborn, you know, and I live in a house full of Scorpios, and I'm a Taurus. So imagine the bull trying not to step on a scorpion, yet trying not to get stung. Yeah. Welcome to my home.
Oh, wow.
That's the line of a poem right there.
Mm-hmm.
That,
wow.
That's a very powerful line right there. That was cool. That was good.
Yeah. No, but I do understand what you mean by writing through emotions. That's my thing, you know. And hey, I don't sound like anyone, and that's been, well, Lady Flavor, you know, that for me has been a problem, but I persevere because I don't really care. You know, I don't want to sound like everybody. I want to sound like John D. Green Sr.
Me neither.
And
that's a growth.
Yeah.
And I do think that you have to stay true to yourself. And I think that what makes a person stand out is their uniqueness. I think there's too many that are copycats or whatever of each other and fall into this, oh, this is what this artist is doing and it's selling, they're making money, so I can do that too. Right. And I do think that, you know, you need to, I mean, if you listen to like Son of Man, you know, he's very, very unique, and, you know, Son has, you know, come out and stayed with me here in Seattle, and, you know, I've been a witness to this man, you know, being able to create something in 5 minutes. I mean, I've heard him over the internet and on different shows and stuff, and he'll, you know, people will say, Son, you know, write something on this topic or whatever. I've actually witnessed him do it, and he's absolutely amazing, but on top of it, you know, the words that he puts together and the metaphors that he uses, his delivery is amazing. You know,
right.
So Enzo
has
delivery. His uniqueness.
And
you know,
like I always say, it's delivery. That's why I don't rap, because I can't deliver. You know, I can think it, I can't say it. But you're the person that brought me to his attention. You are the person that brought him to my attention. That was definitely good. He's talented. Major. As a matter of fact, you're the person that introduced me to Honey as well. Now look at you. Okay. The networker. I just realized that. You pretty much introduced me to everyone that I actually like. So there you go. Thank you, Lady Flavor.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Son is like, you know, my baby boy. You know, he's amazing. You know, and I would say that, I mean, I would say that his writing, you know, can be based off of, like, his emotions, too. But Son's writing goes much deeper than that, you know, and he is definitely evolving. He does his studying on different things, and that's part of the growth of, you know, of who he is as a man and as an artist. And so you'll see him, you know, through his writing. It kind of, that all kind of comes out depending on what hits him that day, of what he's thinking and feeling and wants to write on. So it blends the emotions and it blends his research and education into his pieces. But I think that, you know, anybody that I think is really, really just going to be happy with themselves, whether they're trying to be an artist that just does it for the passion or whether they're trying to be an artist that makes money from it, I think you just have to be comfortable with what it is that you're creating. And to kind of bring it back to what John had kind of started out the show with, you know, what's the responsibility of what it is that you're creating out there? What message is it that you want people to walk away from? You know, that's something that's really kind of a big deal for me. even if it's reading and reviewing a book, to poetry pieces, to musical pieces. One of the things I'll say over and over on this show and any place that I go, which really stands out for me, my mentor, Anne, you know, says that, you know, you take the words that creates a picture that evokes the emotion. That's what's going to sell something, you know, because when you get into somebody, you get under their skin, you get into their heart and soul, that's when they're going to say, you know what, I really love and appreciate this, and this is what I need. And I think that music, you know, can do that in many ways. And I don't get me wrong, I think that club music serves a purpose. I remember back in the days when Lady Flava used to be in the clubs. Back then I was Susan, not Lady Flava, you know, shaking my butt, you know, dancing with everybody else too. You know, so club music serves its purpose. But, you know, if you know me and you watch me online, when it comes to hip-hop music, rap music, that's, you know, that's a harder sell for me. Because the foul language, derogatory, you know, statements that are made, that serves no purpose but something negative in my mind. And so, you know, what I think that as artists, you know, and depending on what your approach is and the purpose of what your creations are being made for, what you're wanting, you know, there's so much power in what you guys do, you know, and you can change lives, you know, with your pieces. And I'm sure that, John, you've experienced that, and Honey and Son of Man have experienced that. I don't know, Henry, if you have experienced that, where somebody says, you know what, man, Henry, you know, that piece, that just was right on time with what I was thinking and feeling, you know. And I think that, you know, they're, I don't know, I don't want to get creepy or whatever, because I know, well, art is art, right?
Right.
But
Lady Flavor, if I may, sweetie,
yeah.
And I want to just, you know, touch on what you were just saying. That's true. And in that alone, your purpose can start out one thing, like you were saying before, just as a way of expressing and venting things out. That's how mine started out. But because of the feedback I got, I started not analyzing what I was writing, but sharing what I was writing more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about changing lives, I think the most amazing thing for me was to realize the impact I was having on other people's lives. And I think that was when I started changing, when I realized how much I was helping other people with my work, because
right.
of the different topics that I write on. The piece I did, God Know I Screamed, which talks about the sexual abuse I went through as a child, I actually had women contacting me after seeing or listening to that audio video saying, wait a minute, I'm in an abusive relationship right now. You just made me realize what I was in. And hearing the man pushing a child down the steps as her and I are even on the phone, because she begged me, because she called me and saying, I've got to leave this situation. To a week later, her saying, guess what, honey, thank you. Now me and my children are no longer in that situation.
See?
So, I mean, it's an amazing, to me, that's more payment than $1 million that somebody
sure.
could have put in
sure.
my hands for all of my poetry.
Sure.
So,
sure.
you know, things like that happening can cause the reasoning for what you do to change. I write now, yes, for myself, but I share it for others, because I don't know what I'm going to write that may have an effect on someone. And I know John and Son of Man has also experienced this too. I'm not sure about Henry, as I don't know you yet, Henry. And all. You just don't know what you're going to share that's going to cause a mind-altering change in somebody's life. And to me,
right.
that's more than any money for anything I could have sold on the market now or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I'm going to put this question out.
At the same point, you know, what I've said so far has actually impacted all of you, because you know, you have, there's a sense of, and I perceive a sense of, you know, a sense of not outrage but indignation, and even that is a feeling, and even that sense of we don't agree, at least gets you thinking that maybe there's another way of writing out there.
Sure. Oh, sure. You know,
so
and
there
the
you
reason,
go.
Henry,
you've impacted people, Henry. Good job.
Exactly. I mean, I'm glad you called into the show because this is, you know, this is the artist roundtable. You know, I work with artists from across the United States to across the globe, and you know, definitely right here in my hometown of Seattle, Washington. You know, but you know, I think that people need to be able to have a place to put it on the table, you know, and process it, and you know, network, and you know, see where you can learn and grow, and maybe walk away feeling a little bit different, or maybe feeling like you've connected with somebody new that you can, you know, then communicate with, you know, outside of the artist roundtable or whatever. But no, I'm glad that you came because, you know, I've written down some notes, you know, of things that you've brought, you know, to the table, and you know, do some research on it too. I want to throw something on the table though. This is just me being a little bit selfish at the moment. And I'll get on my little soap op just for a moment. Y'all can just say Flava stop. Okay, so all of you know, most of you know that I'm involved in a youth program. It's something that I originally started back in 2008, 2007 with Son of Man and Sankara Dredon, and it was called Joseph Vision back then. And we wanted to kind of create an organization that reached out to at-risk youth from across the United States. And using Son of Man and Sankara Dredon's creativity and their personal stories of where they started out as a young person, not living such a, you know, a great life, you know, not something they are necessarily proud of, but being able to take their life and turning it around, and then using their creativity through writing to be able to express the things that they have been through to where they want to see life to go. And unfortunately, life got in the way, and that didn't follow through. You know, there's still talk that we may come together again and try something in the near future. But I've signed on with an organization here in Seattle, Washington, that's called Unleash the Brilliance. And I said, okay, you know what, I started this project with Son of Man and Sankara Dredon. Let me see if I can, you know, get it going again and see if I can create this fundraiser project, because I just so believe that through the power of art, we can, you know, creatively reach our youth, you know, because sometimes they don't want to hear, you know what, you need to take your ass to school and you need to get an education. Okay, I don't think that necessarily approach works. You know, and so what the Unleash the Brilliance has a contract right now with the King County Truancy Office to reach out to the youth that are in trouble with the juvenile courts behind not going to school. And one of the things that I brought up with my partner, Terrell, there is the fact that, you know, you need to find out why the kids are not going to school. Telling them that they got to go to school because they're going to get in trouble with the courts, that's not good enough. You need to find out, is there peer pressure? Is there, you know, issues at home? Do they not understand the homework? Do they not like the teacher, the administrator? Whatever it is, you know, maybe they don't have a place to really get rest and they're tired. You know, whatever it is, you got to get to the core of it. So I talked Terrell into, you know, let me see if we can create, you know, a chat book again with pieces written from artists from across the globe, you know, that reaches out to the youth and says, you know, hey, I understand your struggles, but at the same time, you know, this is where you can take your frustrations, how you can handle it, and where you can work towards a better tomorrow and your future. So I reached out to artists in regards to getting poetry pieces, short stories, lyrics, to letters to be written to go into this chapbook, and then to audio pieces to go onto the CD. And that's a struggle. I did not realize that it was going to be such a struggle to get people to participate.
Hmm.
So do you think that is, I'll be honest, the first two people who sent pieces and agreed to participate are in London.
Oh, nice.
So I have a poetry piece written by an artist out of London, and I have an audio piece that was created by two artists out of London.
Yeah.
And I do have other pieces. Don't get me wrong. There are other pieces. But it was like, wow, why is this such a struggle when everybody that's on most of my social networks are artists? And, you know, we from time to time will post about the complaints that we have about kids or what's going on in society and this and that, you know, it's just like my hip-hop artists out here in Seattle. Oh, we're in the studio, and we're banging out 12 hits, and, you know, da-da-da. Okay, bang out a hit, you know, for the kids.
Yeah.
If you're in the studio all the time, think about it. Y'all are daddies, you know, or whatever. Like, bang out a hit, you know, that can reach your kids, your own kids, your nephews, your nieces, you know, the kids in your community, and that really seems to be hard.
People have a hard time seeing it. They have a hard time seeing the greater good of this. There's no instant gratification. You're not saying, bang me out a hit and I'll send you this much, see? And you don't hold their attention because they're not hearing that. But if they really understood the magnitude of this, we are changing lives for the better, for our future. You got to remember, we're not going to be young and youthful forever. These lives that we can change now with our sounds, with our poems, with our music, our art, we can change these to help shape them into better people who will later be in control of our societies. You see what I mean? Either way, they will assume control one day. Either way.
Exactly.
You know, I'm old. I'm an old fella. I'm not ancient, but I'm not my son's age. But
right.
He is his age, and one day he'll be my age.
Right.
You know, by the grace of God, I'm old enough to make it that much older. He'll be running society. You know, and whoever
yeah, so,
he grows up to be, if I have anything that I can contribute that can shape that, maybe help to make him better, then, see, I see things that way. So I understand completely what I understand why you're doing it. I understand the reasons behind it. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't.
Right, I guess I don't understand it when we can sit here and we could go back and forth on Facebook or something and talk about a social issue that we complain about, and I'm like, okay, but what is it that we're actually doing to make a difference? And I guess when I decided to become a part of the Unleash the Brilliance, and Terrell had reached out to me because he knows my affiliation with the arts. And my passion for the arts, and he also knows that I work with Friends of Youth. And I, for those of you that don't know, I work for an agency called Friends of Youth, and I work with at-risk homeless youth, you know, out here in the Pacific Northwest. And right now we have 9 clients at the housing facility that I have where I work at. But it's something that's really a big deal to me, you know, really making a difference in the one. And just let me just say this right quick. One of the things that really works with my kids is the fact that they know I care. I'm not their mom. I'm not their friend necessarily, you know, but they know every time I come to work and they come to the office, they know that Susan cares, you know, and we sit down and we talk. Sometimes I have one client that he will share through his rapping with me, or he's now trying to play the acoustic guitar. He'll bring the guitar and he'll start strumming on it, and we get to talking about what he's going through.
And
so there's so many different ways that we can reach the youth, you know, and just the biggest thing I think out of this project that I want is, first of all, for adults to really think about the fact of how strong and powerful their art is and that they can make a difference. The second thing that I wanted to get out of this is for the kids, not only in the Pacific Northwest but across the globe, that can experience these books or CDs, to know that there are adults out there that believe in them and that they matter. So that's me on my soapbox.
Yeah, and I totally, when you mentioned, when you mentioned the student, the young student who was playing the guitar and he was sharing his feelings with you and sharing his experience with you, I think that's the perfect avenue for art. You know? I think art creates awareness. However, this is gonna come with indignation and outrage. I think while art creates awareness, it takes other skills to solve that problem. You know, art can bring attention to the world, the problems of the world, but art can't solve the problem. It takes people to do that. And it takes not only people, but people with certain skills. You know, skills that will allow them to be leaders.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me any political figure that you admire.
I don't admire any of them.
None of them? There's none of them that you like to hear speak? Okay. Well, let's just say Barack Obama. I admire Barack Obama.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
fine. But now ask me, have I listened to any of his bodies of work today? Now ask me how many songs I've listened to today. Do you see my point?
Yes.
We do things because those things move us in a certain way. I admire some of the great writers of our time, but I'll be the first to admit it's a bit boring. Yet, I'll pop on the radio. It's the drive, and if we know that that's the drive that gets their attention, maybe something in what we're saying during that drive will get their attention too.
Yes, and I'm thinking, you know, take for example Barack Obama was a perfect example. You know, he went undergraduate, he went to Columbia University, he went to law school at Harvard. He developed the skills.
Right,
you know?
But he's still a boring person. I'd rather listen to Lauryn Hill from the Fugees than sit and listen to Barack Obama because she entertains
me. I have a
prime
example, if I may, here. I'm getting ready to, on the East Coast over here, start working at the rec center because they said they could not find a man that would step up and work with the teenage boys in the area. So they asked me, would I do it? Do you know why they asked me? Because these same teenage boys come to my house not to play video games, not to talk about girls, but to write their raps, write their poetry, do their drawings and everything. And through all of this, though I may be a white woman, I've taught these young black men, don't call each other nigga, because what does that really mean? No, baby, you're not a bitch and everything.
Yeah.
Why? Because, you know, and these things, and it was taught through them being curious about using their talents, their art. And I did, just like Lady Flavor, I put out a filler on my page the other day asking for men for feedback on ideas on things to deal with these young men with. Two men responded, and I've got well over 1,000 friends.
Right.
Two men responded. One suggested I play video games with them. Wait a minute, video games?
Mm-hmm.
Video
mm-hmm.
games. These young men are from age 14 to 18, getting ready to hit the world. And you want me to sit there and play video games with them? They get that at home.
No, I think
at the friend's house.
I think what you're doing.
And he knocked me using the art. They don't need the art.
I think the art's a good way to reach the youth. It's a good way to reach the youth. And for all the reasons that everyone's been saying, that it's not boring, it's interesting, it's something that we all want to do. But really, you know, For those aspiring, you know, young people, my opinion would be ask them to write a mission statement for their life. That's what I would do. I would say ask them to write a mission statement. If
these
they don't know
guys
what,
don't know past the project, baby. Mission statement for their life. Their life is I'm not gonna get shot today.
No.
That's their mission statement.
That's why you have to describe to them what a mission statement is.
Exactly.
That's a lesson.
Ask them straight up. They're not going to – but see, this is what I'm saying. You got to take them to that level.
These young, I'm talking about a school where the principal didn't even know what spoken word was. She thought it was a religion.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And I understand, and I think the art is a good way to reach them. But I think that to get them to a place of safety, a place of economic well-being, they're going to need to get to college. They're going to need higher skills or trades. They're going to need to have goals.
But see, they're getting that, sweetie. They're getting all of that in the school system. They're getting the schools here. They give them all of that. I don't want to be a copycat. I want them to be out of the box. Everybody wants to teach them how to get a job, how to fill out an application. These are guys that know how to come to my house and get on the computer and fill out a job application, knows who's hiring, that. But they don't know that they're not a nigger, that they're not ignorant. They don't know that. They don't know that they don't have to walk around with their pants hanging down anymore. They don't know that they're men in training.
Yeah.
They don't know that. They don't have a positive black male role model. That something
or any
has
male
touched
role
them
model
in the art
matter.
Theory.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
Any male role model. I mean,
I'm just talking about the young men
that
I'm dealing with.
Yeah, yeah, right. But I think that, I don't know if you misunderstood what I was saying, Henry, but, you know, by no means am I saying the art is the resolve. It's because it's not. For me, what we're doing, you know, through Flava News and through Unleash the Brilliance, and, you know, it could be Step Up or, you know, Joseph Vision being revived or whatever it is, it's just a way of artists getting involved
right.
with letting the
right.
youth know that they matter.
Here's
and I do think that the arts is a good way for the kids to learn. It's a healthy, safe way for them to express what's going on inside. Because a lot of them hold it in. They don't know how to help to express what they're going through and feeling. A lot of times kids are told, you know what, oh, you know, that's stupid. Don't think that way. Don't feel that way. They need to be able to be allowed to own their emotions. And so maybe, whether it be through rap or poetry, journaling, storytelling, painting, a picture, sketching, whatever
yeah.
it is, it's their way of releasing. And so when I say I'm working on this project for Unleash the Brilliance,
okay.
I know, as Honey was saying, there's so many men on her page she's trying to reach out to. I mean, I'm connected to, like, you know, 3,000 artists.
No, here's the issue. Okay, I'm a former businessman. That's why I have the luxury
mm-hmm.
of writing. What I would say to you is, as an artist, step outside the artist box and network with business people. You know? Does that make sense?
No, that doesn't make sense.
You provide one aspect. And that aspect is the creative, emotional side, the part of them that will be able to express themselves. That's one aspect that's very valuable and important that you provide. Now, the problem is that they need to see, as your colleague indicated, that there are positive male role models that are also African American who, you know, dress well, who dress respectably, and, you know, they need these positive figures. So what I would do, and if you want, I can help you. I'll be more than happy to help you, because my, I do know many successful Black Americans, African Americans. I do know many, but they're all in California. I don't know how it would work, but they can provide that aspect that says, not only can you express yourself creatively, not only can you be an artist, but you can also be part of the professional world. You can also be part of that world that you think is so different from yours that really isn't.
Oh, no. And okay. John, am I not
okay.
explaining
yeah.
myself well, right?
I think you are. I think Henry is a Henry?
Yes.
Let's see. Okay, here we go. I'm from the inner city. I'm from Detroit, Southwest Side. Are you familiar with Detroit?
Yes, a little bit. Not very. I've never been, but I'm familiar with the.
I'm sure you've heard. I'm from the southwest side of Detroit. I grew up there. I've lived my life there. I've had my fair share of hardships and shortcomings. I am black. It is, environment plays one aspect of it, Henry. All right, but it's not. It's the individual. You understand what I'm saying? I grew up in one of the worst parts of Detroit. It is the individual's desire to be better. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone has the drive to be better. Sometimes it is due to the fact that they do not know how to be better.
Exactly.
Sometimes you can become so overwhelmed by where you are and how things are where you are that you begin to believe that this is how it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Do you think someone in a suit and a tie would be able to...
I believe
so. Business major, let's say, do you believe that they would have the same impact as, say, hip-hop idol that some of these children listen to every day? Do you think the words of that well-groomed businessman would have the same effect as someone that they actually idolize and look up to?
If that well-groomed businessman, I'll share with you a story about my life. I never like looking back. I grew up in a very poor area. Okay? And I grew up in a very poor school, poor public school. I'm being perfectly honest. I never share this with anybody because I don't like to look back. But I'll share it with you just so that you can understand that I do understand where you're coming from. The most inspirational moment I ever had in my life as a child was when I was in, I believe, second or third grade. One of the teachers in this poor, rundown school with horrible teachers, one of the teachers was married to a stockbroker, right?
Correct.
And we had an assembly, us third grade kids and the fourth grade kids and the fifth grade kids, almost all the kids, we sat in that assembly room, and here comes this man in a suit and tie, full suit and tie, and he describes the life of somebody who completely failed at everything they did. And he's up there in his monotone voice, in a voice that I thought I couldn't relate to, describing of all the failures of somebody who we know very well, but how that person kept persevering no matter what. And in the end, he said, "Did you know who that person is?" And we were all curious, who could this be? Who could this major failure be? It was Abraham Lincoln. But he persevered, and because of him, we won the Civil War. Because of him, there was emancipation. In the end, throughout his hardships, he persevered. And that, to me, was the most motivational moment of my childhood. And that's when I said, I want to be that guy in a suit. You know? Does that make sense?
Wow.
I want to be just like that guy. So even though he and I were worlds apart, you know, everything that he did, and even though he was worlds apart, and he was this monotone, dry guy, the very fact that he came up there with his expression to send a message to us from his heart was the reason that I said I want to be like that guy. And again, I'll be honest, maybe not everyone felt that way. But at least I did.
And I think that, Henry, and to not discount what you're saying, because I do think that you have a valid point. I do think that there are men in suits that can be mentors and represent something that any group of young people, whether it be African American, Caucasian, Asian, whatever group of youth that are out there struggling can be a mentor and represent. This is what you can obtain with hard work and determination. Please do not get me wrong. What I brought my subject up, the reason I brought the subject up was I'm trying to impress upon the artists. I am so connected with artists from across the world. When I'm online, I have a Susan Koshy page that's solely for my family and my high school, you know, people and da-da-da. you know, I've only got 100 people over on that page. But when it comes to my Lady Flava and my Flava News stuff, you know, it's over thousands of people on the pages, you know. So what I'm trying to say is that even as artists, you can see them posting throughout the day about social concerns or about things going on with our youth or, somebody being locked up because of, you know, having guns or drugs or, you know, whatever it is, these things can be addressed. And then I go and I listen to certain music, not John's because John writes amazing music and pieces, but there are artists, you know, out there that write about stuff that really have no relevance or meaning or substance to it. And many of the people that I'm in contact with are parents. You know, if they're not parents, they're uncles and aunties and this and that. There's youth in their world, and I did not realize in me reaching out to the artists in my personal and professional world, it was going to be such a struggle to get pieces submitted for my project.
Here's what I want to impress upon you. Those artists are selfish, but businessmen are not necessarily selfish. Just like you are thrown by the idea that these artists could be so selfish, which they are, I want to impress upon the idea that there are very many people who are generous and who are professionals, lawyers, doctors, businessmen, and who will give their time. You know, who will give their time. And that might be a concept that is to you is foreign, but which to me is not.
Well, I mean, and see, and that's not my area. And I totally agree that there are businessmen that would be willing to, give of themselves and their time to mentor young people and not taking away from that. I agree that. My thing, Henry, is I work with artists. That's my thing. You know what I mean? And so when I say that that's my concern, that's where I totally get what you're saying. You know, businessmen, I'm sure if there was somebody wanting to build a network of businessmen to reach out and mentor young people, you know, I can't think of what the program's called here in Seattle, but we have this program where, you know, entrepreneurs will come and meet with young people to help them set up a business plan and understand, you know, all of that type of stuff. And I think that's wonderful.
And what
I
I'm asking, the question I have for you is,
I'm a business person. I've owned businesses.
Yeah.
You know, I own a business right now. But what I'm trying to do is something on the creative level because that's part of Flava News and part of Lady Flava. But before I go any further, there's another caller that wants to be pulled in.
Okay.
Caller from the 206-859 prefix. You're on the line.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thinking Caveman.
Hey,
But for a change, I'm actually going to be me. For those of you who don't know, my name is Patrick Lloyd. And the business and art do go together. Philanthropy and altruism go together. But there's a major hurdle that most people miss or don't misunderstand, misannounce, and truly don't get a full feature of. For 20 years, I worked in an industry that I absolutely hate because of the hours, the time, and I did very well. When I left that industry, I began to do better as a person, as a parent, and as a human being because I had balance in my life. Working in an industry, stockbroker, McDonald's employee, can bring you the variety of income that you're used to or that you're comfortable with. But until you become a human being and yourself and an entrepreneur, you cannot grow. For most people who are listening to this right now, there's a point in your life where you didn't know how to spell the word entrepreneur. There's a point in your life when you didn't understand what the word entrepreneur really meant. Most people who call themselves entrepreneurs still don't know what it means. An entrepreneur is not someone who starts a business and works for themselves, their self. An entrepreneur is someone who creates business to employ others to move on to other businesses.
That's
correct. Got to keep that in mind.
Yes, that's very good.
As an artist and an entertainer, you need to establish within yourself, what do you mean? If you're looking for a payday, you're not an artist nor an entertainer. You're a performer, and you perform for pay. An artist and an entertainer is someone who would stand on a subway platform, pennies, and do their art. They're someone who would travel 50 miles for $50 to stand on a stage and do their art. That's an artist and a performer. And in some cases, and most often, artists and performers don't get paid. Now, I'm going to be uncharacteristically myself and talk about exactly what I mean and be blunt. For every person out there that thinks that they have a difference between the guy who's sitting in Montana in his cabin with no electricity and hates everybody else who ain't white, you're incorrect. The majority of people who are artists and entrepreneurs have more in common with redneck militiamen than they do with a street pimp in Philadelphia selling crack, simply because you understand that there's something fundamentally wrong with our system. And the only way to encourage it, correct it, and enable it is to quit arguing and to come together. Now, I've found it very difficult to get the other side to come together because they feel that no one understands them. In the daytime, when I'm busy running around doing all my stuff and I'm on the go, I actually listen to right-wing radio because I have a very liberal train of thought, but I'm also very Republican in some ways. I don't like taxes. I don't think everybody should be on welfare. I don't think that people should be allowed to sit at home and do nothing. At the same time, I believe that everybody should have health care and everybody should get a meal tonight at dinner, and nobody should be homeless. So I got that duality going on, as so many of us do. But I find that at the end of the day, when I lay my head on the pillow, in the United States of America, there are more people who agree with me than agree with people who promote hate, misunderstanding, and distrust. The longer that we keep young black men thinking that they are separate and not similar is how long it's going to take before we begin to overcome. Yes, there are some levels where, as black men as a group, we are different. It's a fundamental thing. We're hard-headed. We fight uphill all the time. It's because traditionally we are go-getters. From picking cotton in the field, to hunting in the bush, to going to get that job, to hustling on the corner, we are go-getters. Black women as a group are nurturers and providers. Artists, specifically in the rap industry, have drawn a line down the middle of that understanding between black community as a whole, and they've given everyone else in the world the impression that we don't care about ourselves. So all this little infighting about who's going to help and how can you get someone to help, for one, the lady with the kids, take the help you get, not the help you want, because the people who didn't answer you are the people who can't help you. People who do answer you, be they men, be they women, are the ones who can help. For the gentleman who said he was inspired by a stockbroker, congratulations. Being inspired by Abraham Lincoln, congratulations. Don't dwell on what's not there. Dwell on what is there. I got to bounce.
Thank you. That was brilliant.
Thanks, TC. We'll be calling you afterwards. Okay. I don't know if that was TC's blunt way of just saying, you know, Flava, you're not going to get artists to write you pieces for the youth. Maybe that's so. I'm not going to give up, TC. You know me. If it's something that I really, really believe in, you know, even if I do it with a few, you know, pieces that I have or whatever, you know, this is just one thing and one way that I'm going to do my part in trying to, you know, reach the youth and hopefully reach adults.
Yeah, that's uphill go-getter in you.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's just like, yeah. John, you would be surprised the things that come my direction and what people think about me and what I do.
Really?
And
wow.
They just don't know. It pushes me even harder. You know, and the thing that I have to do for me, you know, in what I do and supporting artists, I have to stay true to me, you know, and there are a lot of artists that come my direction, a lot, and they want me to help, you know, push out their project or products or, you know, push them out there, and I'll be honest with you, if I'm not feeling them, it's not happening, you know. And there are people out there that I do not have a win-win relationship with. It's a one-sided. It's about what Flava can do for them, not what we can do together for each other. I stop pushing them too, you know. But when it comes to these youth, there's so many different ways to reach them, so many different ways. My way is just one way, you know, and it's something I truly believe in, and I believe that even if it's just a few artists, that's going to make a difference. Last year, I had 6 youth at my facility for Christmas time, and some of them are Muslim, some Jewish, you know, and this and that, you know, but we had a holiday celebration for them. I was so very blessed to have artists physically mail me books and CDs and backpacks and or send money to help me build what I called holiday baskets for the kids. You know, so I know that there are artists out there that care, you know, and when I walked in there and gave the kids, you know, their gifts, their eyes were just like, wow, you know. People really, your artist friends really sent this for us? I'm like, yeah, they did. You know, books were autographed to the kids and this and that. So I know that there are artists out there that care. Would I say that they're selfish? I don't know, maybe. Could I say that life gets in the way and they forget? Yeah, I could say that, you know. But it's something I just honestly believe in, and I'm going to keep pushing it. And if it goes into, you know, not being produced until 2011, that's okay. You know, I started working with this with Son of Man and St. Cadre Don back in 2008. So, you know, I can wait a little bit longer, but I do think that in the end, you know, through Flava News, through, you know, I'll just say Flava News at this point, you know, somehow I can create something that's going to, you know, have words of significance and meaning and people involved that really, really care and, you know, and to be able to say, you know, to the youth that we ship the books off to the parents, you know, of the youth or guardians, to the administrators in the schools and, you know, to be able to say to them directly, you know, as I go to the meetings and the workshops, there are people out there that really care. They may not know your name, but they know you, and you matter,
they know your
and
story.
They created this for you. So that's my...
Yeah, we know their story, you know. This is a funny, the whole conversation today is funny, because now you got me thinking of points of inspiration. In my professional career, the person that inspired me was the most unlikely of all people. He was a science teacher, 6th grade. His name was Mr. K. He was the stereotypical scientist that you see on any comedy show with the floods and the bow tie crooked and the taped glasses and the misbuttoned shirt and the pocket protector and a protractor on his side. He was my inspiration because he was a brilliant man. and he would go the distance every single day to make sure we comprehended and retained the project for that day. He was the biggest inspiration in my professional career, in my professional line of work, which is strange because you wouldn't think so, you know, but he was that good. So for me, he pretty much led me to aerospace, you know, working as a lab tech for years. It was his inspiration that made me believe, wow, I can do this. I'm smart enough to do this. I can go to school for this. I can actually comprehend and retain this information because he made it exciting. He made me want to learn it. He made me want to understand science. So, I mean, it can happen. And in your case, for what your project is, your dream, and what you believe in, it will happen. It will happen.
And I believe, no, and I believe that it will. I do. I just find it interesting. You know, how I don't know if it's just hard for an artist to switch subjects and to think about something around our future, our youth. You know, if they're in the mindset of writing erotica or if they're in the mindset of writing, you know, about making money or whatever it is, you know, that I'm not sure, you know, what the challenges was. Then I found it just so interesting that for the first, you know, two artists to really step up for the project are from the UK.
Right.
And I was like, okay, is it? I didn't really understand why that was. Somebody in a totally different part of the world immediately sent me pieces.
And they probably have the same plights there that we have here, though, you know. So they probably figured that was their way to contribute. Me, when I told my team about your mission and your project, we made the decision to go into the studio fresh. We took the topic that you had already posted so liberally, and we read up on it. I had my research personnel go in and let's focus on these topics. Let's focus on the topics generalized first, and let's make sure our attentions are directly on these topics. And we went to the studio, and I began to write fresh. I didn't take anything that was already done. I decided to start fresh on this project just for you, just for this. So this isn't something that would be distributed, you know, oh, this on my CD, and I'm using it for... No, this project is just for Lady Fletcher. This is for your project. This particular piece is being written just for you, just for this. It's that important.
I appreciate that, John. And I wasn't expecting that because I do want it to be something that, you know, you could, you know, post out there that it's something that you created and that, you know, it's your piece. You keep ownership and you can say that I wrote this for this project or whatever.
Because
that's something important to me, too, for you guys to be able to, you know, push out the fact that you are, you know, this is your art, you know. Because so that's, in my mindset, I'm thinking I'm building this win-win, right?
Right.
It's something that you as an artist can put out there. I want to be able to, you know, publicize websites, you know, any public contact information. This is where you can find out more about this particular artist who created this piece. You know, so then, you know, you can take that piece that you created or you allowed us to use and that, you know, it's your piece and you put it on your CD. You know, you put it out there, you know, on YouTube, whatever it is, as a John D. Green piece too, you know, and this was my mindset is that I was creating something that's a win-win all the way around.
Right.
You know,
that was just my personal choice because people, you'd be surprised, people like to feel like this is something just for them. You know, I wrote the music for the WSBBA, you already know that. When my team, when we're preparing to do a big show, we're doing a benefit for the school, the foundation for the juvenile youth, whatever, when they hear that music come on, they know that this was written for our school. This piece was written just for us. So this 1,500 people here, this song was written for us to jam with them right here, right now. That to me is important because, like you said, I mean, the truth of the matter is a lot of us, we spend a lot of our time, in my case, a majority of my day is spent in the studio now.
Right.
You know, and a lot of us are writers, you know, songwriters and singers. And it seems important. And it doesn't, the request doesn't seem like it's so over, oh, I can't do. It seems like a small request for the rewards that we reap if our true desire is to see betterment in our youth.
Right.
So for me, it was a simple thing. I told my team, and my team's response were, you're not in the studio? You haven't started yet? So that was the key, you know. Okay, cool. So that's where I've been. That's what I'm doing. That's one of the priority projects that we're working on because it is that important. You know, and it doesn't seem like a big deal. But I know that it is. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like it's so I'm going out of my way. It seems like it's something that I'm doing, but it's something I will be doing anyway. But I feel better because I feel the cause is very worthy. You know what I mean?
Well,
I feel like this cause is very worthy. Thus, I'm excited about it.
And I appreciate that, John.
No
I mean,
problem.
I appreciate that because that in you sharing that and saying that makes me, you know, feel better because – it's something, you know, again, I'm so very passionate about, and there's so many different ways of reaching our youth. And it's one thing to sit here and have, you know, conversations amongst ourselves and complain about what's going on in the schools or, you know, with our youth or, you know, teenage pregnancy to, you know, dropping out of school, whatever it is. There's one thing, you know, but what can we do to change that? You know, what can we do to impress upon these young people? They really, really do matter. And that's one of the things is so many of them don't think that they matter, that they're not valued, you know. And that's the one thing that I love about you, John, is you always let us know how much your family means to you, you know. But there's a whole bunch of kids out there that don't have that.
Right.
You know, and
I was
see
one
it,
of those kids at one time, Lady Flag.
Yeah.
I was
see,
one of those
you know,
kids
so,
at one time. So
yeah. What better person to tell that, to give a message than somebody who understands?
Exactly.
You know, and even if you've never, you know, I grew up in a very loving two-parent home. I was very, very blessed. I went through my own stuff as a young person. Probably a lot of it was because of being just rebellious, you know. Being a minister's daughter, having that label over my head, whatever, you know, I rebelled. But I have to tell you the foundation that my mother and my father gave me, you know, that is something I will value till I die. You know, that's something I will take with me to my grave because the foundation I came from, you know, helped me understand that the direction I was going wasn't right and wasn't the way that I wanted to go. And as I became, you know, as I became a single mom, you know, and having my own children to taking in kids into my home, you know, and taking care of them on my own, that I know I can make a difference. And because, you know, I am involved with artists, I guess I just would like to see artists join hands with me and with Unleash the Brilliance and say, you know what, I can create a piece for this, or I can write a letter, or I have some lyrics that are going to be, you know, beats are being created, but, you know, I can share these lyrics in your chat book or whatever it is, you know, because it kind of comes back to, you know, how you started out the show, John, on, you know, the responsibilities of the messages that's being created in your art and how do you want to be recognized. It kind of goes back to past conversations that we've had on other artists roundtable, branding yourself. What is the brand? What is the image that you're wanting to create as an artist? And I think there's so many things that goes into play. You know, when you become an artist and you put yourself out to the public, you open the doors for criticism.
That's right.
And critiques, you know, and so then what is it that you... Yeah, exactly. You know, but what is the image that you want people to recognize about you.
Right, absolutely. And do you want to be an artist that is known as part of a positive entity and a change-provoking artist? Then get your music or your piece submitted, everybody. What's the hold up? What's the hold up? Wait till you hear this piece. You know, I got to use those moments to plug because I know that there's some good people that are still on the fence about this, but I'm urging them to sway the right way because this can be an amazing, as you said before, this can be a win-win. This can be a win-win, but the main focus should always be on why we're doing this. Why
right.
we're doing this. For me, that's first and foremost, the reasons why. You laid out the reasons. I agree 100%. I'm in. But then again, I'm a simple man. So, you know, I don't require much thought from me. If it's right, then I'm there. So that's me.
Right.
You know, but I'm about to leave. It's dinner time in the old green household. So, Lady Flavor.
Oh, before you leave, I'm sorry. Can I just say one thing?
Sure. Sure.
You know, I want to impress and clarify and impress upon both of you that I truly, truly, truly appreciate the work that you are doing and the heart that you are putting into your work. So I really appreciated the dialogue that we just had, and I really appreciated that Mr. Lloyd called in. And the message that I want both of you to take is that it's all about building bridges.
Building
right.
bridges.
It's all about building bridges. But when I say that, I mean building bridges with everyone. Not just with a select few, not with just people who agree with everything you say, but building bridges with everyone. Because I can tell you this. I have friends. I'm a moderate. I'm a total moderate. In California, if it asks you what a political party you want to be, I write down declare not a state because I'm a moderate. I have friends who are liberal. I have friends who are conservative. I have friends who are more liberal than others. I have friends who are more conservative than others. We all get together every Friday night. We sit around at a restaurant. We talk. We debate. We chat. We argue.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the night, we're always friends. We're always equals. We're always building bridges.
That's a beautiful thing.
And I agree that people can still come together and network, you know, and don't see things, you know, eye to eye. And I think that people can have a respect level and stuff. And so, you know, I didn't mean for this conversation to go this particular direction, but, you know, I guess I just wanted to also put it out there. You know, I've created this project. I'm hoping that people will get involved. You know, it's also based on, you know, the fact of, you know, where do you want to take your art? What kind of message is it that you want people to get out of it? And that's something that's a big deal to me. You know, what message do you want, you know, the listener, the fan, you know, to walk away when they experience you as an artist. And
I think it was a pretty good roundtable, actually.
I do.
You know, there was a bit of debate. No one seemed to agree. No one seemed to disagree, but we seemed to agree to disagree. So I thought it was a really good, productive roundtable.
No, and the things that Henry shared are very, very valid, and they're real. You know, and it's not something I'm trying to discredit. It's just, you know, me, I'm just trying at what I'm doing as far as through Flava News is because I am known as the artist cheerleader that I'm trying to bring artists together through Flava News. Totally agree with the fact that there are different approaches and needed approaches to reach our youth. Totally agree with that, you know, but just as who I am, as Lady Flava, Flava News, you know, out of Seattle, Washington, and what I'm trying to do in bringing attention and shining light on artists, this is just another way, you know, of wanting to, in a sense, shine the light on artists, but also shine the light on the young people and you know, letting everybody know, hey, we're here, we care. You know, let's join hands and we can make this, you know, together we can make this work. Too many of us feel like we're alone, you know, whether it be, you know, people trying to sell their CDs to selling books, to selling paintings, graphic designs, you know, studio time, whatever it is, you know, we need to come together and recognize the value in each other and what we have to bring to the table for each other. And so that's why I've created Flava News. That's why I created the Artist Roundtable, to just come and put these concerns on the table. And I enjoyed the conversation today. It's
yeah.
different. It seems like all the shows, John, I think you would agree, have been kind of different. Different people have shown up and stuff. You know, some are the same, but it's good conversation, and it's something that I can tell you honestly, as the host of the show, I walk away, you know, gaining something from each show and each individual that participates, whether they be in the chat room or whether they be here live on the phone with us. So I know you need to go eat, John, so please,
yeah.
you know, give my blessings to your family, and we'll
I
be
will.
Seeing you
I
online.
Will.
Do you want to give out any contact information before you leave the show, John?
No, nothing other than the usual, www.johndgreensenior.com. Come, check me out, see what you think. And Henry,
yes.
make sure you give out your information, Lady Flavor. I'll be in contact later to receive that information.
Right. Okay.
Where can we find you, Henry?
That's a good question. That's a good point. I'm trying to think where's the best way.
Are you on Facebook or anything?
No, I'm not on Facebook. Everyone asks me why am I not on Facebook, and I'm not on Facebook.
YouTube, MySpace, Sonic Biz, Reverb Nation.
Nothing. I'm trying to think what's the best way.
Do you have an email, Henry?
I do. That I definitely do. And I'd be more than happy to give you my email address.
Give your email to Lady Flavor and to the show. We'll
okay,
be in touch.
Yes. And
thank
you,
Lady Flavor.
And I enjoyed the
All
conversation,
right.
and it
have
was
a
great
day,
conversation.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
good night, John. Thank you.
You enjoyed the conversation, and you said thank you. Have a good evening. I'm there. Thank you.
Okay, thank
have
you.
Have a great one.
Thank you.
So, Henry, I'm not sure how you came upon the show, but I'm sure glad that you called in and participated today.
Well, thank you for
it made it, you know, the information
thank
you. That you shared is very, very valuable, you know, from your concerns as being in California as a poet to deciding to, you know, transform your poetry into musical pieces. And, I mean, that's very interesting to me. And I honestly would love, you know, at some point if you're interested, you know, to share that with you. And if you're interested in me playing it on my show, I'd be more than happy to. You can send MP3 tracks to radio@flavanews.com.
Okay.
Because I'm really interested to see, you know,
okay.
how you, what you what you do with your art and how you choose to, you know, perform it and display it for other people to come to know and appreciate. And I appreciate, you know, your stand on, you know, around the youth and how to best reach the youth, because I think you're right. And I think it is a very good approach, you know, because, and a needed approach. You know,
the reason I want to impress it upon you is because my brother, as an architect, is primarily an artist, right? Hello?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Oh, my brother, as an architect, is primarily an artist.
Okay, yes, definitely.
But about 6 years ago, when I first exposed him to business and finance, he was like, oh, I don't want to know anything about that. That's just BS. I'm an artist. I don't care about that stuff. He said that. He did. And then
right.
now, 10 years later now, he's like, wait a minute. Knowing business, I know how to create a way for myself to empower myself to put my own art out there and not have to work for someone else. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he was. I totally understand how you feel, because he felt the exact same way. He went to the design school. He became an architect. And once that was done, he said, you know what, I'm an artist, and you know, business is evil. Business is this and that, and I want nothing to do with it. But after I, you know, because he's my big brother, I pounded on him to look up, research, you know, different books, different ideas. And, you know, what do you know? He's ready to start his own business. Now he's getting ready to, you know, do his own thing. So, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to really impress upon you that I know you're an artist. I know you are.
Oh, I'm not an artist.
Oh, well, I know you appreciate art that
right.
much. I know you're an
right.
appreciator of art, But
yes,
do step out of the box, because people, when people say step out of the box, they usually refer to, you know, being more creative. But stepping out of the box also means getting to know people who may not be in your same field, but may be interested in your field, because both of you have something to teach each other. From my brother, I learned creativity.
Henry, I have business people in my world. My mentor is not an artist. She is. She works in corporate America. She is an advisor, consultant to Fortune 500 companies.
Perfect.
You know, so it's not that I don't have those kind of people in my world. I do.
That's great.
But what I'm just trying to do with this particular project is something that's geared around arts.
Okay. But
so I have other people that are in my world that, you know, we go through, you know, how to do things, that are very supportive of what I do through Flava News and stuff like that. So I get you on that.
Perfect.
If it wasn't for those people in my world, it wouldn't help. I wouldn't be as far along and branded as well as I am across the world.
Yes. And I think
so.
But I think that's something that separately from this project, you should also consider sharing with your students.
Mm-hmm.
That's my humble opinion. And just to give you more background on myself, I'm sorry to keep you online here. I'm sorry, but just to give you more background on myself, I live in New York City. I went to school in New York City, and I mentored and tutored high school kids in New York City. You know,
right?
And you will be surprised how much students love to learn once they realize that there's a reason for it, that there's an end goal. There's something that can be gained from it. You'll be surprised who will want to learn. And that's what I want to kind of impress upon you to also pursue that as well. You know, think outside the box.
I understand, and I do appreciate that. And it's something, you know, definitely to take into consideration and and act on. You know, so I appreciate that. You know, it's just that, and you know, anything that you see that has to do with Flava News, or incorporated with Unleash the Brilliance, the youth organization that I'm involved in, the center part has to do with the arts.
Of course.
And then a lot of the other people that are involved, they're not artists. You know, I'm not an artist. You know, so, I bring a different aspect to what it is that artists are trying to do, you know, and so, and I think that the reason why people value what I have to say is because I'm not an artist, so I come from a different standpoint.
Okay, perfect.
So, but what you're saying is very valued, and I definitely, you know, I've been taking notes as you were talking. And stuff like that, and you know, it's definitely something to take into consideration. So I appreciate the fact that you called in and hung out with us for the past 2 hours, Henry, and I hope that you'll come back again. I do this particular show every Monday. Like today was 12:30 Pacific Standard Time. Next Monday it's going to be 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. So every other week.
Oh, great.
It's a different time zone because there are times when people call in from. We have an artist that calls in from Switzerland and stuff like that. So I'm trying to hit different time zones so that different people can participate. So you're welcome. You know,
but thank
please
you.
Come
thank
back
you for.
I'm so appreciate you being a part of the show today.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciated talking to yourself and your colleague, and especially Mr. Lloyd. I think Mr. Lloyd had a very, very strong message to send. And I think. If I were to replay this back in, I would want to listen to what he said again.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. You should. Yeah, TC is one of my mentors. He's hard on me. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He's very much to the point and this and that. So, no, he's somebody to look up. And if you ever do decide to get on Facebook, most of the people that were on the show today are on Facebook.
Okay,
and,
I'm going to start a Facebook account today. I'm throwing today because everyone keeps.
Okay,
I've been listening to blogs. I've been calling them to all these art shows, and everyone keeps asking, "Why don't you have Facebook?" I'm going to start one, and
okay.
And then I'll email it to you later on. But I'm going to start one today.
That would be great, and then we can just connect. And, you know, I really would love to see, you know, what it is that you end up doing with your art. I'm very,
yes.
very, you've got my interest.
Yeah, and my timeline is January. So by January,
okay.
it should all be pulled together.
Okay, sounds good. But
okay,
anyway,
thank
so
you.
I'm going to end out, close out the show, but thank you so much again, Henry, for calling in and participating.
Oh, and thank you for having me on. Thank you. You have a good afternoon.
Alrighty.
Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. So I want to thank everybody who came out to listen to the show live, to those that hung out in the chat room, and to those that, you know, called into the show, and those that come back and listen to the Artist Roundtable in the archives. We've had some amazing, amazing conversations on the shows that have taken place thus far. I honestly would suggest that if you ever have the time, you know, and desire to check out all of the shows, because the conversations have been different. Different people have called in from different parts of the United States to across the globe. And this is about you. This is where you can come and safely put your thoughts and concerns on the table. And we can talk it through and hopefully walk away with some newfound friends and some new perspectives on how you can look at what's going on in your world. So take care. God bless. And we will see you soon.